Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep within us, shape and fashion us like your likeness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We might come back to that a little later. In the readings that we've had from Luke's Gospel over the last couple of weeks, Luke gives us first an account of Jesus' conception and birth, followed by a very succinct summary of the early life of Jesus. And the details of Jesus' conception and birth were in accordance with the prophecies in the Old Testament. And the three events of Jesus' early life that we have here were all in accordance with the Jewish law. The three events that we have, of course, are his circumcision, his presentation in the temple, and his bar mitzvah. They cover more or less the first 12 years of Jesus' life. Now, there's two tiny little verses in between of that, 39 and 40, which also cover the expanse of time from his presentation in the temple to his bar mitzvah when he's 12 years old. And the reason why I'm pointing these things out to you this morning is this. Those three events that Luke records, and that is tiny verses that mention the gap between the presentation and his bar mitzvah at age 12, point to Jesus' humanity. The one thing that Luke was very keen to do was to get people to understand that Jesus was born as a human being. Divine though he was, he was born a human being and he experienced human life and human family life just like we do. So I mentioned these three together to bring that point to you this morning, that as we consider some of the stuff that's here, and there's lots of stuff, remember that Jesus was human and his divine nature was still there in him, but it's his humanness that Luke is wanting to focus upon at this juncture of his gospel. So, Kay last week dealt with Jesus' circumcision and the first part of his presentation in the temple. We now have before us today the second part of his presentation in the temple and his bar mitzvah, in between of which we've got those little verses that just record that Jesus had a normal family life and grew up just like the rest of us. 33 days after Jesus' circumcision, Mary and Joseph were in the temple with Jesus for Mary's purification and the dedication of her firstborn, a son, to be holy to the Lord. Mary and Joseph therefore bring their firstborn, a son, as a gift to the Lord in accordance with the law. And in the offering the usual sacrifices for those of limited means, they offer a pair of turtle doves for a burnt offering and a sin offering. And there were two people around at this time in the temple when this happened. One was Simeon, which Kay dealt with last week, and the other person was Anna. Now Anna, she's only got three verses, 36, 37, and 38. But my goodness, what a lot is packed in those three verses for our edification this morning. She is the most challenging person, and she had gifts which she brought to the Lord to honor him. Now, when we are faced with a challenge, what happens? What do we do? Most people, when they're faced with a challenge, have a response that's either positive or negative, or sometimes a mixture of both. We can feel guilty by a challenge, or shamed by it, or excited, or frightened. It can provoke anxiety as well. But Anna is now the third person that Luke mentions in his gospel, the first two being Elizabeth and Mary. They have much more narrative than Anna, who has three verses. But as I say, what a lot is packed in those three verses. We note first that she was a woman, a widow, and a prophet. Secondly, that she had experienced hardship and sorrow. Thirdly, that she was a worshipper of the Lord, of which prayer and fasting were an integral part. And fourthly, that she was ready to speak about Jesus to those who were looking for a saviour. Now, I get very, very excited about Anna. She has occupied my minds and my thoughts most of this week. And when that song said somewhere, to receive the food of your holy word, I thought to myself, what a feast God has given me this week in considering this woman. Now, just because you're not a woman here this morning, it doesn't mean to say you can switch off, because the things that are said here about this woman apply generally to everybody. But why am I excited about her? Well, first, because actually, yes, she was a woman. And yet, she was used in God's service. And for those of my generation, it's been a long haul for recognition in the church. But for those of you who are younger, you could still make it to the episcopate. Do you realize that? You could. So take hope and encouragement from it, even if it's a very scary challenge. Second, she was a widow, meaning she was alone. She'd been married for 7 years only, and then after that she was a widow, and she was by herself. She had lost her human helpmate that she had been given in marriage. But there was still no bar to her in serving God. And the same is true for us as well. Those of us who are on our own are widowed or widowers. There is no bar to us serving God. The next thing that we notice is that Anna was a prophet, i.e. a woman of standing in her own community, as had been other women before her. Read the Old Testament, there's plenty of women there doing mighty things for God. And it just makes me realize how God got it right in the first place for women to have that equal standing with men in serving God. But the thing about that for me is what provokes my anxiety, because I don't warm to status or position very easily. And the fact that God has given it to me, both in a secular sense and a spiritual sense, does rather dumbfound me at times and causes me to realize that it's a challenge I need to face up to. So that's why I'm excited about Anna. I hope some of you can catch some of that excitement this morning. But why am I encouraged by Anna? I'm encouraged because Anna had known sorrow and hardship. Now again, sorrow and hardship can engender responses in us, both of a negative and a positive nature. When we experience sorrow and hardship, many times we will want to rant and rage at God. God, what do you think you're doing in my life? This is terrible. Now, I'm not saying that having a negative response to sorrow or hardship should be just swept under the carpet and ignored. No, the Psalms give us plenty of examples of people who ranted and raged at God, and yet they came through it. So Anna had known hardship and sorrow, but she hadn't let it make her bitter or hard or twisted in any way. She had let God work in her through it, and it had made her kinder and more sympathetic and softer. She bore her sorrow before the Lord, and she did not let it eat her up. And so I'm encouraged by Anna in her response to her sorrow and hardship, because so oftentimes it can eat us up for years sometimes, not just weeks or months. It can affect us for years. I'm encouraged by Anna because God did a work in her life in and through this. And if God can do that in Anna, he can do it in me, he can do it in you. In fact, my testimony this morning to you would be that that is what God has done. Knowing God in sorrow and hardship and in him working his purposes out in and through that have been some of the most precious times, mostly when I've looked back on it, that I've had. So if God can do it for Anna, if God can do it for me, I'm an ordinary human being like you, he can do it for you also, whatever your sorrow or hardship is. So that's why I'm encouraged by Anna. But I'm challenged by Anna as well. I'm challenged by her because she was always in the temple worshipping God, and that included praying and fasting. And oh my, to worship and pray and fast as much as Anna did is a real challenge to me. I remember taking up this challenge some many years back now in deciding to attend the Wednesday prayer focus meeting again after a long break. It was a real challenge for me, but I was encouraged and supported by those around me at the time. It was difficult, but I am so glad I did that. Maybe at the start of this new year, this could be a challenge for some of you to begin or return to attending the prayer focus regularly on a Wednesday evening, or even if your circumstances allow, to come on a Monday morning, a much shorter time of prayer when we literally read the scripture and we pray. Maybe that's a challenge for you at the beginning of this new year. We have a big building project in hand. We have a work amongst our children and young people. We need to be praying. I'm challenged by her fasting as well. On a physical level, some of this wouldn't be amiss for me this year. But on a spiritual level, combined with praying, who knows what God could achieve through it? So maybe that's another challenge for us as well this year. And the final aspect about Anna is that she was ready to speak about the child she had encountered to those who were looking for a saviour. Could that be a challenge for some of us this year? To be more open about speaking of Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, to other people in the workplace, in our colleges, in our schools, in our homes. Because there's plenty of people out there who are actually looking for a Saviour, looking for a Redeemer, looking for someone to understand their humanness and to be with them in it, in their distress and their sorrow, and to take them through it. But if we don't speak about it, how are they going to hear? Anna took up this challenge once she had met with Jesus in Mary and Joseph's arms. She went out and she spoke about it. I don't know how long she lived after that. I mean, she was 84. She'd done extremely well to live that long. But however long she lived for, you bet she was speaking about Jesus. So as I say, Luke emphasizes the humanness of Jesus in these three events, his circumcision, his presentation in the temple, and in his bar mitzvah. And in all of this, Anna in particular, and the others as well, bought themselves as a gift to the Lord to be used in his service. Now, if you thought that there was so much to think about Anna, and you would be right, there is. There's even more to think about for married couples. And again, just because you're not married, it doesn't mean to say you can switch off about this bit either. Because God says quite a bit about married couples in these verses. And it's this: Mary and Joseph went together to the temple. And they went with Jesus to present him and dedicate him to the Lord. Again, in accordance with the law. But also, we read that they did the same thing, it would seem, every year in going up to the temple in Jerusalem for the annual Passover festival. And of course, it was at this one when he was 12 years old that we have the account here of what happened to Jesus that particular year. But the point about this is this: Mary and Joseph went to church together with their child or possibly children. And this can be a very real challenge for some of us. Because what these Mary and Joseph were doing in this was they were supporting and encouraging each other on a basic spiritual level in the service of God. And helping each other in spiritual matters and encouraging each other in the service of God can see character formed and molded, lives transformed, and ministries blossom and grow within the marriage relationship, which then spills out into the wider church. Husbands and wives are continually to do good to each other rather than harm within the love of God. And this is a difficult challenge for some of us. But Jesus, in his humanness, understands what family life and married life is about. He understands the challenges and the hard work that it can be sometimes. And he can meet us there and help us with it. Some of the best times in my life have been when I've had the benefit of a very close friend to sit down on a regular basis and read the Bible with and pray. Mary and Joseph offered themselves to each other and to the Lord as a gift for their mutual spiritual encouragement in the service of the Lord as they parented Jesus and the other children that they probably had. Could that be the challenge for some of us this morning? Finally, and this is a final point, there's something for young people, but of course many of them have gone out to their own groups. So it might be that any parents here will have to take this and maybe discuss it with them at some time during today or following in the week. The third event is Jesus having his bar mitzvah in the temple in Jerusalem when he's 12 years old. I don't know what it was like in Jesus' day, but it's an amazing event in the 21st century. If you want to know, I'll talk with you about that afterwards. This is traditionally, though, a time when a young person takes responsibility for their spiritual growth and development. When in the Jewish faith, the boys don't quite know what happens to the girls, but the boys no longer sit with the children and the women, and they move to sit with the men. Girls get a bar mitzvah as well, but that's something slightly different, and I don't have any knowledge about that, but some of you might, and you can fill me in my gap. But this is what happened for Jesus when he was taken to the temple at 12 years of age. He began to have his own responsibility for his spiritual growth and development. But there is something quite important that happens on this particular occasion. Because when everybody else goes home, he stays behind. Now, young people at this particular age and onwards do question things. They do begin to question, who am I? What am I doing here? What am I going to do with my life? Is there a purpose to life? I know these were questions that I asked when I was a young person, and having godparented two youngsters in recent years, they're the same sort of questions that are asked today. And these were the questions that Jesus was sat in the temple asking those who were older than him, because he wanted answers to these questions, like young people want answers to their questions today. And one of the challenges that maybe us older people face is being able to get alongside a young person and discuss with them what their questions are and how they might be answered, and to pray for them on a regular basis. A challenge perhaps some of us could take up. Jesus wanted to hear at this point in time what the teachers of the law had to say about certain issues. And none of the people then would have thought this strange, because that's what young people did. And it's not strange when young people ask questions today either. What sometimes annoys me is when the adults around them are not prepared to try and give them answers, because they can't face up to the challenge. Or the, maybe with some adults, they haven't even answered the questions for themselves, which is alarming. Anyway, Jesus was there doing something that normal adolescents did at that time, and nobody was fazed by it. But Jesus was actually realizing that there was much more to life than being the son of Mary and Joseph. He needed to begin that discovery for himself about what his real purpose in life was, and to begin to offer himself back to his heavenly father rather than his earthly father in service, so that he could finish his normal physical human growing up, but with that sense of what God, his Father, his Heavenly Father, was working out within him. And this is why we have in those verses 39 and 40 and 51 and 52 a succinct summary of what Jesus did during his childhood and early adolescence. He was at home, being a human being. He was growing up, becoming stronger, but he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him, and he was obedient to his earthly parents. All good stuff preparing him for what God had in his adult ministry. So there are some challenges for us as we step out into a new year. There's some encouragement for us. There's something perhaps to get excited about by these events and the people in these events. Whether we're old or young, male or female, married or single, widowed, we all have something that we can bring to the Lord today and for this coming year. It might be that it is to encourage our spouse. It might be to parent our children. It might be to speak out in our workplace or colleges or wherever about Jesus, the Saviour and the Redeemer. It might be to be regular in our worship, in our praying together, and maybe in our fasting. And if we take up these challenges, if we take up these encouragements, if we acknowledge, yes, this scares me, Lord, but you're speaking here, and I want to be like Jesus was, I want to be obedient to you, then who knows what God could achieve in or through us as individuals or a church in this coming year. Think about it. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes. Renew our minds, Lord. Help us to grasp the heights and the depth and the breadth of your plans for us. Your truths unchanged from the dawn of time. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Amen.